Father, thank you that we can stand here this morning, that we can be together as your church, your people. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in Daniel's life. We thank you for this testimony. Thank you, Lord, for more lives that's being changed through that. And Lord, thank you that we can be a witness of what you are doing in many lives. And thank you, Lord, that we can look forward to tomorrow and through what's coming because of you. And I know, Lord, we are all at different places. We find ourselves in different situations right now. I pray that you will help us to hold on, to help us to continue, Lord, to help us to have hope for every day. In Jesus' name, amen. When I thought about this year and everything that's happening, I just realized that some of us, we like to stop for a moment and regroup and look at what's happening in our lives, look at where we came, look at this is all the stuff that I have at the moment. I know Robert likes to do it at his birthday. I like to just stand still and take a moment and almost to take stock, and almost to check, okay, this is what's happening now. What is God telling me? What is the next step? And often I don't know. It's often that I can just see what's happening now, and I just see, okay, this is what happened. This is behind me, but I'm not sure of what's coming. And through that, and through my prayers over this time, I was just encouraged again by just what God is doing. And I realized last year, we came here, this is now the fifth year that our church is here in Century City. I still remembered when I felt the call of God to go into full-time ministry, and me and Lee, we were in Shofar Delft on the Cape Flats. I still remember the day when I told her that I was flying to Jordan and telling her, I think we're going to move to another church. We must pray for our leaders in Shofar. And the next day she sent me the SMS. It's telling me that they've contacted her and we're going to come to Century City. And I just thought, okay, Lord, thank you. Because often there's a warning or there's something that we can see. And then this year, being here, just seeing testimonies and lives being changed, healings in people's lives, families, people coming here, being restored, and then leaving again. And there was something from the beginning that we felt for our church, and it was so beautiful to see it. And even last year, you know, Anne-Marie that was here, some call her Tani Anne-Marie, the old lady, she came here. She came here as she was divorced, she was broken. And she, it was beautiful, she sent me an SMS. And she contacted some of you, and she just said, my husband is now also serving the Lord, he's a new person. We've got married again, we stay on a game farm in the Free State where he works, it's paradise. And he said, lots of love to the church. And it was so amazing. Our God came and he just turned their life. He turned their life around. It's encouraging. And I said to our Lord, that is what we trust you for. To do things, to real things, to change lives, to change relationships, to encourage us to follow Jesus and to keep on keeping on following Jesus. And I know God is real. God is with us. It's good. We experience his testimonies. We see breakthroughs. We see many things. Also for us as a Shofar group, last year was a very significant year when Pastor Heinrich Titus and Nikki, his wife, they became the leaders of Shofar. It was a good year with a lot of good things, good conversations as pastors of how we can work together, how we can go forward. How we can stand together as Shofar churches in the communities where we are. And they reshuffle a bit the support structures. Some of you might know we've got a support center in Franschhoek, where it used to be head office, but now it's just a support center. They just want to help the churches, the finance, and some of the media. Some of those things are all happening in Franschhoek, in a central place that all the churches don't have to duplicate, and it helps a lot. So And we looked at that. We came together as pastors. We had a very good session just praying together. Just coming together, praying together, seeking God's face and say, Lord, how can we be more effective to reach people? How can we be more effective in what we do? Because that's what it's all about. It's quickly that the world pull us in and make us busy. And we just get so busy and so distracted with all the stuff that's going around us that we forget about everything else. And maybe there's some dreams and there's things, the sense that God has put on your heart, and it's still a place where we can pray about this thing, submit it to someone, pray together, give it to God, and let us stand together and trust God for more of these miracles, for more stories. Because all of this is a platform for people to come to Jesus. I'm reading a book, Marketplace Miracles, and it's full of stories like Daniel's story. And the guys are saying all of this is just giving them platforms. Because when somebody asks them, how did it happen? They say, well, we're not sure, it just happened. This is what God has done. And then it's a platform for someone to ask, okay, but tell me about your God. Tell me about this man. Or don't you want to pray with me? And then we can just pray with people and we can trust for the same thing to happen. I love to pray with you guys and anyone and to trust God specifically for breakthroughs. Specifically for work and then any other breakthroughs. Because when that breakthrough comes, we just know this is God. This is God and it's good. So, but we know life is happening. And we don't always have the good testimony. Like in December, driving with my car, I've told you some stories about when those lights came on. Now some of those lights came on again, and I thought, oh no. So this time it was the water just going somewhere. I wasn't sure where, but I timed it every 24 minutes I have to stop and top up. So it was amazing. I stop, and then some other people stop, and I say, do you need water? Because we are in a drought, so you don't get water everywhere. So it was just amazing, people handing me bottles of water. And eventually, we were going to Stillby for a week there. And I had to book my car in with a mechanic. And he just said, this is a big job. This is going to take half a day to open everything up, half a day to put it all back. I said, okay, let's just do it. And it's in those moments that you feel like, wow, you don't know how everything is going to turn out. You don't know, okay, Lord, where's all the money is going to come from? That's what I usually think. Everyone else in the family, they just want the car back. And well, it was amazing how everything worked out. And we actually stayed a day longer in Stillby. And then at the same time as we were leaving, my mother-in-law phoned me that saying that they were in the Land Cruiser on their way to Somerset West from Stadtheim, and the wheel came off. So not only the wheel, the rim, the whole thing came and it's going down the road. So that was quite a big story. They think someone tried to steal the wheel during the night and somehow they didn't finish the job. They didn't put all the bolts back. So it was physically, it was loose. And on the end to close to the Stillby turn off, this wheel came off. So there we are on our way home. So we were right there and we can take them back and just pick up all the pieces of the brake drum and everything that was there next to the road. Put it all back. Managed to get to Riversdale. And then they went on a truck towed into Somerset West. And then there's all these loud noises on my wheel. And I thought, well, it's fine if I put the music on. You don't really hear it. So driving like that for a while, but then Lee took the car to go to the shop and then said, Yaku, there's a noise. You need to sort it out. So I said, okay, let me sort it out. So that was just the wheel bearings. And got it sorted, so we're all back on the road and safe. But I realized that so often we've got things planned. or we don't know what's going to happen. And then these things happen. These things happen all the time around us. And in all of this, the thing that just stood out for me, God is telling me, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. And I will get back to that just now. I just first want to read for us. Someone wrote in the paradox of our age, the world that we live in. He said, we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less, buy more but enjoy it less, bigger houses, smaller families. It's not true for all of us. More conveniences, yes, less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment, more experts yet more problems, more gadgets, less satisfaction, more medicine, less wellness. We take more vitamins, but we see fewer results. We spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry quickly, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too seldom, watch TV too much, pray too seldom, talk too much, laugh too seldom, lie too often. We learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, but not life to years. This was written many years ago, the paradox of our age. And I realize as we're moving forward in the new year, some of us might ask us, so what would you say is the right thing to do? What must we do? Is it Bitcoin? What is it? Is it Steinhoff? Maybe that was last year. what is the right thing to do? Or we say, no, I just want to stop this. I want to spend less time on Facebook. I want to be more present in my home. We get all these ideas. So I want to read more. And then we look at our experiences. We look at what worked. Look at 2017. I like to reflect and say, okay, this was a good change for us as a family. It helped us a lot. This is not so good. Let's change that or stop doing that. So there's Gary Newhoff. He's got a leadership podcast that sometimes I follow, a pastor from Canada. And he wrote an article many years ago for leaders and for pastors, because he's experienced burnout in his life. And he went through a very bad depression, burnout. He was just tired for 3 months, just wanted to sleep. And he said there's 5 core essentials, according to him, that he would like to stand still. And he just started, he said, your prayer life. Now he said the first casualty of getting busy is you pray, you're praying less. One quote I read, or one thing that my friend Retief, pastor in Tableview, he put on his Facebook, he said, pray more and plan less. Or no, pray more than what you plan. Because planning is important. And I just said, often we're good at planning. But we're not so good at the praying. We're not so good at seeking God's face. And this Carrie Newhoff, he just wrote it down as one of the first casualties. And he said this is his basic list. He didn't try to come up with a fancy list. There's some basics. And they say if you try to build a marriage or a relationship or a friendship without communication, it's going to be very difficult. And often we go through life without a lot of talking to God. And I realize, just looking back to last year, that was often my saving grace, where things were just difficult and I'm just walking and talking to God. And just talking to God and talking to Him through the situation, through the stuff that's going on, and waiting. Because I know if there's a word from God, it's the same thing. It can change everything in a moment. And then the next one is, again, it's Scripture. But not just before we even get to studying Scripture. It is reading Scripture and allowing it to speak to us. Just reading it and allowing it to speak to you. He said that was one of the things that he noticed, that most of the pastors that contact him, most of the people, the leaders, They neglected this the most. They didn't read Scripture. They did read Scripture to prepare for things. They did read it when they have to. But they didn't just spend time in the Word. And we know the Word is alive. It's powerful. God speaks to us through His Word. He actually mentioned a Scripture one morning. He just wrote Proverbs 11, verse 17. And all that it said was, your kindness, there's no my kind. He said, your kindness will reward you, your cruelty will destroy you. That's it. And he realized that that changed his life for that morning. Because he realized that there are areas where he's really cruel, where he's not kind. And it was just one scripture, and he just stood out. It was just the right word for him at the right time. Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. And it often happens. As we spend time in the Word, the Scripture will just stand out. There's something that will speak to us about our situation, about the stuff that's going on in our lives. The other three that he put down are the three classics: diet, exercise, and sleep. Suddenly there's a buzz. It's amazing how these things, they influence us, influence how we feel, how we react, what we say. It influences many things: diet, exercise, and sleep. And often, sleep is one of those things that is actually used to torture people in war, sleep deprivation. I know people that don't operate so well without a lot of sleep. And it's one of those things that you can go for a while without getting enough sleep, but somewhere it catch up. Either you sleep, or your body will tell you you need sleep in some or other way. Maybe you get sick or whatever. That's just how it happens. And the thing is, what spoke to me about diet, exercise, and sleep, sometimes we think that it's personal things. But I know when I'm in a good mood, when I'm exercising or I get enough sleep, then I'm a better person for the people in my house. That's just the bottom line. So then it's not only about me anymore. Then these things affect the people in my home and affect the people that I meet during the day. It actually also affects how effective I am just in being a nice guy. Because it's difficult when I didn't exercise for a long time. I just ate what I want to, and I'm not getting sleep. Often the children will tell me, say, Daddy, it must be so amazing to be an adult. You can just do what you want to do. No one checks what you eat. And I say, no, boy. No. So, Rick Warren, pastor of America, he said, the battle starts in our minds. The battle starts in our minds. The battle for sin starts in our minds. It's a thought that comes in. And we need to take those thoughts captive. It's often easier said than done. Gustav, when he was very small, he said to us, Daddy, I must just be the boss of my brain. Then it will help. He's a strong-willed child. And we're having a few challenges with him every now and then. And then when everything is settled, then sometimes he will come up with quite a good saying or two. And he realized what's happening. And he said, I must just be the boss of my brain. There's these things I don't really want to do it. But when it's there, I can't help myself. And then I just do it. And that was his thing, that he said it for a very long time. And I realized that is so true if we can take those thoughts captive. So for me, the word that God has spoke to me through all the stuff that happened, like I said, is don't be anxious. And I just went to the scripture again, Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. It just says, do not be anxious for anything. And that is not so easy. So do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that is something that, how it works for me now is, I will just start talking to God. I will just sit, I'll get a place, and I just sit and I just talk. Before anything else. And I said, Lord, this is it. And then I trust the Lord to, through all of this, that I will get a thought, that I will get an idea, that I will get some guidance into what to do next. Who must I speak to? Is there something I must pray? Is there something I must read? Must I involve someone? But what is the next step? What is practically the next step? So that is something that I'm doing. I just realized that the devil want to attack my faith, he want to attack my belief, he want to attack things that I thought this is working. He wants to attack my marriage. He want to attack my relationship with my children. And challenges are coming up in all these areas. And then I take it to the Lord and I just talk to God about it. I just talk it through. And even just from there, I just want to jump to when Paul wrote his letter to the Galatians. Paul planted a few churches, but just he wrote this letter to the churches in the area of Galatia. And when he came to them, or he heard about, there were some false teachers. There were people that telling them that they must go back to the law, they must get circumcised, they must become Jews again. And he's like, what is going on? What is going on in these churches? What are they doing? And then he realized that they actually, these people, they are spreading rumors about who Paul is to disqualify him. So again, they want to come in and they want to say, no, you've been part of this, but no, do you know Paul? And is he really who he says he is? And is he really appointed by God? And this message that Paul is preaching, is this really the true message? Is this really the right thing? And do you think that you are still part of the blessing of Abraham? And do you think that you are really a son of God? That you can make these claims? And they started taking on all these things. So Paul was, he was good in talking straight. He didn't beat around the bush. So he started this letter. And I just believe there's something in us for us, also for this year. I'll just quickly read a piece from here. He started, he said, this letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. So you make a good statement just to make things clear. And he said, all the brothers here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. So I'm not on my own. And then he said, may God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And then Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. And then he continues, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it's not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. So he set few things straight. So this is what Jesus has done for you, and I'm shocked to hear where you are. I'm shocked to hear that you're so quickly are just moving away from what Christ has done, what happened in the churches. And I realize that often we are at a good place or at a bad place. I don't know if it happens for you, but sometimes my emotions go like this. Feel good, feel bad, feel good, feel bad. And in those bad moments, you doubt a lot of things. and you doubt stuff that you've heard, you've doubt stuff that you've heard from the Lord, and suddenly it's just easy just to go for alternative things. Sometimes there's a default, and we just take the default route. We just go for something. There's something that can just bring a bit of peace, that can help us in the moment. Maybe these guys, they just came in, all these teachers, and they just sow some thoughts into these guys, into their minds, and they say, "It is great you've been established, but are you really okay? Are you really fine? What's happening here?" And Paul had to address it, and he came with a very stern word. He just said, "I'm shocked," and every now and then he repeated himself later on as well. He started chapter 3, he said, "O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you?" He said, "You guys are foolish. And what are you doing?" And then he starts addressing the things that they are claiming. And I said, and it's just beautiful how he just wrote, and I want this, well, I'm not going to do it now, but he said, he just told them, "This grace, this what Jesus has done for you, this is not something cheap. This is not cheap. What has happened in your life, what God has done for you, that really costed Jesus. He died on the cross. It's a terrible thing that happened, but he died that we can have life. He died that you can have life. And there's grace. There's grace for your situation. There's grace available for us to live." And say, "Do you really want to go back to telling people that you must be circumcised? Do you really want to come and be in this place where you just hold on to the circumcision, saying that everyone must become Jews again, trying to be something that we can't be?" So is this really what you want to go back to? And it's amazing how he just continues. He says, and later on he said, "I fear for you. I fear, perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing." And then in chapter 5, "For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace." And he basically tells them that you are in a serious bad place. This is serious, what's happening here. Come back to Jesus. And for me, what spoke to me out of this is, we all had moments of Christ. We have moments of God, where God came to us, where amazing things happen. But sometimes we forget, sometimes other things, life happens, things get difficult. And like Paul asking these guys, just to come back to the truth, he basically say, "Come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus." And that for me, that stood out. For all the stuff that we can do for the new year, for all the resolutions, basically we will have times where we mess up. We will have times where we don't know what to do. There will be times where it's really difficult. There will be great times. There will be difficult times. But the best thing that we can do is not to run away. Not to run away. Not to do like our great-great-grandparents did. They hide from God. Adam and Eve, Genesis 3, if you want to go read it. After they messed up, they were hiding. They were hiding from God. And they realized often, just yesterday, Gustav was walking a big circle around the backyard. I thought, that's so weird. We were all there doing stuff. And then I saw what was happening and why he's walking away slowly, denying everything. So we had a bit of a moment there, of heart to heart. Say, "Gustav, why didn't you tell Daddy? Why didn't you just came out?" Because he did something and he realized it was wrong. And then as I was coming closer to him, he was walking away and he was walking big circles. And sometimes we do the same. We just realize that maybe I've messed up here, or maybe this. Sometimes it's not really that you can say you've messed up. Sometimes it's just something we said. Sometimes Lee She's good at telling me, Jaco, something is wrong. What is it? And I'm good at saying, it's fine. It's all fine. But if it doesn't go away, then everything is not fine. And sometimes it's just, I just need to say, no, this is what's going on. This is it. And realize with us going into this year, the best thing that we can do is, as we move forward, is just to be quick to turn around and to come to God. Just to be quick to talk to Him, to be quick to confess. Because repentance is really that turning, that where we turn, where we decide to do something different. And that's where the Bible, the Word, and all these things will really, really help us to think differently about stuff, to approach life in a different way. This is real, it's life. And I'm encouraged by the Word. I just realized that so many times when I was in a bad place, especially last year, the things that changed it was reading the Word and prayer. That's two things that really made a difference. I'm not saying it because I'm the pastor or any other reason. I'm just saying it worked. And I've seen it work for other people as well. And this year, as we move forward, there will be difficult situations. There will be time where we lose confidence, where we're not sure, but God is with us. And as Paul did right in the beginning, he told the guys, he said that verse 3, he said, may God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And then Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. And then there's an amen. And the amen is often, yes, I agree. So there's this the step of faith. There's a place where you say, yes, God, I believe. Yes, God, I believe this. Yes, God, I believe in you. And that's the only thing that I trusted. But for this year, we will really say, yes, God, you are enough. Yes, God, in every moment of every difficulty, you are enough. Apart from all the other stuff that's happening. So you can stand. I just want us to just respond to this word. It's an amazing thing of when these teachers came to the churches in Galatia and they told them about the circumcision and why it's so important. They said that you must be circumcised to share in the blessing of Abraham. Paul wrote chapter 3, verse 9. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Remember the word says, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Because Abraham believed. Then they told these guys, they say, if you're not circumcised, you cannot claim to be a son of God. You cannot make this claim. And later Paul wrote, for you all are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 26. He said, this is what these guys are saying. He said, but you all are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And then they continue and they said that how must we live and it will help us to do the right things and to stay true to the law and we must keep the law. And then he went on and he said, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. In chapter 5. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And they say, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results, it's evil, it's bad. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucify them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And that's what Paul came. He came right against these guys that just want to get religious. He said, no, Christ is enough. So this morning, as we end off, I believe God has spoken to us. Maybe you must just say, Lord, I trust in you. Maybe that's just the first place. Say, Lord, or Lord, help me to trust in you. Help me just to see you. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. And I know that sometimes when we get into the light, when we take the word and start reading it, there's so many stuff that just comes up. There's so many things that's bothering us. And then I realize, I say, Lord, but you died for sinners. You died for me because I'm like this. I don't have to hide. We can just come. So don't try to fix stuff. Just come to Jesus and say, Lord, help me. Let us just respond some worship. Father, we thank you that we can worship you this morning, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for testimonies. Brother Daniel has shared, Lord, of Anna Marie, Lord, that got married again, Lord. We thank you, Father, for things that are happening. We thank you that you are busy in our lives. We thank you for each one here, Lord. And I pray your grace on their lives, Lord. I pray your peace for everyone here this morning, in Jesus' name, Lord. And help us, Lord, as we move forward in this year, help us, Lord, to be quick to turn to you, Lord. Quick to look for you, quick to ask you, quick to talk to you. I pray, Father, that no one of us will run away. No one will run away from you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Whatever is happening, Lord, and the enemy comes, we know he's coming. We know there's attacks of Satan on our lives, and whatever is from you and whatever is working. But we pray that us as a community, Lord, that we will stand strong. We will stand together, help one another, encourage one another to keep on keeping on, to run this race and to run strong in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that we can look forward to tomorrow because of you. Thank you for hope, Lord. We worship you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.